Welcome to Fit Food Junkies, Addicted to Health. My name is Emily E, and I'm a certified group fitness instructor and personal trainer. We will not only talk about fitness, nutrition, and business, but also explore how to build a strong mindset, have ultimate motivation, and how to reach your breakthrough in life. Let's start on our health and fitness journey together.
Let's talk about women in tech and women in fitness. Oh yeah, you can do both. Nikki Zaka is an enterprise sales executive for a tech company and also a health and wellness enthusiast. She works with brands that align with her mission to empower people to find self-love and confidence through a healthy and active lifestyle. Today, we will focus on Nikki's incredible weight loss transformation, her intense and unique journey of balancing her hormones and figuring out which diet and workouts work best for her body. Women in tech and in fitness doing it both, and Nikki's non-negotiables. We will learn how to reset our bodies and minds to kickstart our days to the max. Nikki, welcome to Fit Food Junkies.
Thank you so much for having me. I feel like you. A long time coming. We've been talking about this. I'm so excited to finally be chatting.
I'm so excited that you're here, and I missed you so much. So this is also selfish for me that I get to hang out with you.
I know, after and catch up on all the things. I love that.
I know. I love like our setup. We're like podcasts. We'll go on a walk around the lake after I get our steps and enjoy the weekend. And
all the things.
So cool that you are a woman in tech, but you also have your fitness business and everything on the side too. I think that's super remarkable and admirable because it's hard to do both. I feel you with the full-time job, the side hustle.
You do the same thing, though.
It's a lot. Yeah. We do a lot. But tell me a little bit about that experience of working in both.
So the whole, like, health, fitness, that whole side hustle kind of came by accident. So it was in college with, and we'll get into the full weight loss journey and everything, but I was a springboard diver in college, and so with D1 you get a training coach and nutritionist and learn about all of your diet and actually lifting weights and everything. And so when I started lifting in the gym and learning like how to actually go to the gym and do all of that, I lost like 25-30 pounds, and that's when Instagram was just getting started. There wasn't a ton of like health fitness people, and so
I can't even picture that.
I know. Well, and I feel old saying this, but it was like literally when it was just getting started. It was over 10, I think around 10 years ago now, and so when I posted that, people just started reaching out, asking how I did it, wanting to learn more, and it became kind of an obsession for me because I really did feel like empowered and found my confidence and finally felt like I was in a spot that I truly loved my body, which has never been the case for me, just from lifting. And so I wanted to help spread that, especially to more women, because I was like, I had no idea what I was doing. I could help so many college girls, especially, like, learn their way around the gym. And so that's how it really started, just a college, like, side hustle. I'll help some girls on the side. And then really grew from there on social media. And when I came to Austin, I really switched. So I used to do custom fitness and meal plans for people, and that was my focus when I was up in Boston. But since being here, like we talked about, the insane fitness community here, and just everybody is very supportive, and there's so many amazing startups for different health techs and gyms and in the fitness space. And so I had so much fun doing events and working with different brands and like learning about new ways to for recovery or for fitness that I never thought of before in trying those. So I had way more fun doing that side. So I kind of switched and now work more with like brands and companies that really I trust and that I use every day. And I want to share my story with people.
That's so cool. What do you think is the biggest translation? Like, which piece of working in tech has translated the most for you in your journey in terms of growing also your working with fitness brands?
I don't know if it's the tech part, but I would definitely say being a sales rep, I think is skills for any part of life. And they definitely, if you're an athlete, you're going to be good at sales. It's competitive. It's self-motivating. You just want to get out there. You're charismatic usually if you're an athlete in team sports and all of that too. So it kind of just translates really well in time management and all of that, like just drive really. And so you really learn more about sales and about the psychology behind it for people. And I love enterprise sales because it's something I'm not good at, is thinking of thinking like a CEO or a CFO of a very large company. That doesn't come easy to me, so it fascinates me to learn more about and how to actually, like, the power of persuasion and how people think and all of that. So I think sales is definitely something that I geek out on a little bit too, which is just fun because it's challenging myself every day and I'm learning every day. And that can be something that translates to entrepreneurship, or I'm essentially selling myself with programs or to brands and different events and trying to make a community for my side job. And it's kind of the same thing in sales.
Can you give us one specific example of maybe it's a certain way that you sold to someone has translated into working with brands and making them also want to work with you?
I mean, this isn't really a hot take, but what really clicked for me early was to sell something, you should be doing 20% talking, 80% listening. And you're not really selling your product or whatever it is that you're selling. You're listening to what their problem is and trying to find a solution for them. So I think that point of just like really listening. So when you're talking to a brand or a company, what is their vision? What are they trying to accomplish? And do you have something, whether it be yourself or a product or something that fits that can help them solve that? So I don't know, just having that mindset too. Mm-hmm. Like when you're calling prospects, it's what is your problem and how can I help you solve that? And it's the same thing for if you're trying to align with a brand or a company, it might not be aligned. So that's when you walk away, but it's listening to what is their vision, what is their product trying to do for other people, and can I help them actually spread that message and showcase that it works?
Mm. I love that you said the 80-20 rule, because that is so true. Like having the person that you're selling to, having them speak more and learn about their pain points, and that is something that totally can translate into anything.
Oh yeah,
it's that. I think that's so unique, and people forget about that because you're like, oh, I'm selling, I'm talking about this. It's like, yeah. No, switch that around.
And people love talking.
Yeah, they
about
love
themselves.
It. They love it. So, it's like dating.
Yeah. No, honestly, I was gonna say in relationships too. Mm. It's like asking questions and genuinely being interested. Like, don't fake that either. Mm-hmm. Just ask questions, be curious, and actually interested in what they're doing. And it goes a long way.
Tell me more about how you work with brands, because I think a lot of times, whether you are a fitness creator or you're in any industry, especially if you're a content creator, you want to work with brands. And sometimes they'll reach out to you, sometimes you reach out to them. What is your biggest secret in terms of working with brands and getting them to want to work with you?
That is hard. I don't know if I have anything in the back of my head as like a little secret. I think what's worked truly for me is just being authentic and genuine. So my rule for working with brands that reach out to me, that a lot of, and I think this is also because I have my full-time job, so I'm not doing content creation to make a living and really needing to rely on that. But so it gives me the option of, look, I have this 3-week or a month period where I'm going to need to try your product. And if I really believe in it, if I'm going to use it every day, then yes, let's talk about working together and setting up a contract and or whatever it may be. But I always have to try it, make sure that I believe in it. It's something that I would actually use in my everyday life before that. And then that makes the content better too, because it's not like you're faking it to get paid or anything. It's mm-hmm. This is actually how I'm using it every day. And I think that shows in the content too. At least I hope it does, because then you get more brands reaching out because they actually like what you're doing and your message and how you're helping people. But if you actually are using it every day and it's meaning something to you, then it's so much easier to talk about it and it comes from a genuine place.
Yeah, the authenticity goes a long way. And then also it goes a long way for your audience too, to trust you.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. That's what my goal is. It's like, I don't want to be faking any of that.
She's real. She's so real. I heard you before touch upon that in the weight room is where you learn to love your body.
Yeah.
And that really hit me because I can relate to that so much. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of women are scared to go in the weight room or even scared to just step into a gym.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that was newer to you, and then you found your love for fitness and for your body through that experience.
Yeah.
Can you take us through that journey?
Oh, yeah. So I was an athlete my whole life. Like, I did a bunch of different sports, but that was all that I did for working out. It was either sports or if I did go to the gym by myself, especially in high school, probably like many other girls that are listening, it was all cardio or like on the elliptical for an hour. It's like you're not really doing anything for yourself there. So when I finally learned how to do all the Olympic lifting and weights and what I should be doing, just building that muscle too, and week after week being able to see yourself like hitting goals and setting higher expectations for yourself and proving to yourself that you're strong and you can hit goals and continue to move on and everything. That's really, I was like, wow, I'm impressing myself type of thing. Like, I felt more confident about myself, and it wasn't even trying to focus on weight loss. It was really just, okay, I have these very specific goals for diving that I want to get into. And so being able to go to the gym and like hit PRs and just continue to progress and have your teammates there backing you up and supporting you, that was the community aspect that really made me love myself too. And just like the appearance was definitely a good like check mark on the way, or just an added bonus, but that wasn't really my main focus during that period until I started getting compliments and stuff, which I'm not gonna lie, and then you look back and you're like, oh my god, my body is changing right now. And so after that whole thing, I would say probably went a little bit too far, which we'll get into as well. And that didn't happen. I would say when I moved to Austin and like different stressors, and working out became my outlet for stress. And so I continued to work out more, but didn't eat more. I was like not eating enough healthy fats or carbs or anything. It was just pretty much very high protein and like veggies and stuff. And my body just kind of started shutting down, especially COVID. I like went way overboard, was probably working out like 2 to 3 times a day because I wasn't going into the office anymore. You had more time to just like go on more walks or do more classes or what have you. So I was working out excessively and then not fueling my body properly. And I do truly love movement and I love working out. And so in my head, I was like, this is a healthy addiction, right? It's fine if I'm like working out this much, but it really isn't. It takes a toll on your body and it's adding more stress. It's not relieving stress for you if you're doing HIIT workouts every day. That is stress on your body. So was not healthy.
It's so funny. Everything you're saying, I'm like, okay, are you talking about my story or your story? Because I'm not kidding you. I went through the exact same thing when I was a freshman in college, is where I've always been active, but that's where I really started to get into, just into exercise, weightlifting, all the things, more teaching. And I also did a lot of those HIIT workouts, was working out 2 to 3 times a day, or was just in the gym for hours being obsessed. Like you said, I had an unhealthy addiction to exercise. And all of a sudden I was like feeling good, was not feeling myself properly, was depriving myself with food and my diet. And eventually, just like you said, my body was out of whack and my body was in fight or flight mode all the time.
Yeah.
My cortisol was high and my hormones were out of whack. And I soon figured out how to find the homeostasis within my body. But take me through your experience, because I'm so curious of how you came out of it. So you're weightlifting, you're feeling confident, you're feeling good, you're finding this love for your body, but now you're taking it to another level.
Yeah, and that happened after college, to be fair, because I think having the coach, having the nutritionist and the team, like that, I was my healthiest probably junior, senior year of college from that. Once I left, I feel like also being an athlete, you kind of have that mental, what am I doing with my life? And I was really looking for that team training and still wanted to be very active. So that's why I turned to HIIT instead of just, we were mainly lifting and then doing like runs or something at college. And so HIIT was because I liked the classes because it gave me that team feel. And it was able to like take my aggression out or stress or anything because it is that high intensity. And then when I came down here and like I mentioned was not eating properly and doing all of those workouts, it really hit me though after I started getting my labs done probably about 3 years ago. And the reason that I did that is I lost my period. I actually, full transparency, did not see a problem with my body at all. And looking back, like, yes, I was extremely thin and it wasn't healthy. And I had some family members telling me that I was probably unhealthy. And I kind of pushed them aside, like, you don't even know what you're talking about type of thing. But it is wild looking back, like hindsight. But I knew something was off when I lost my period. And this is a different story, but like my gyno and my primary care was like, oh, it's fine, don't worry about it. And I was like, I know something's wrong. So got my labs done. Like you mentioned, cortisol through the roof. I was not producing any sex hormones, like no estrogen or testosterone at all. I was having some other like liver issues and some other just like off balance things. And my, so I went to MSW and I don't know if you know Nurse Doza, but he was like, looking at your adrenals, I literally don't know how you're awake right now. Like it looks like you have zero energy. And I was, and he's like, do you just jack yourself up on caffeine? And I was like, yeah, pretty much.
Oh my gosh.
Like it's just coffee and energy drinks, but it didn't really hit me until somebody was like, straight up, these are the numbers and like, what are your issues that you're facing right now? Because I just thought it was normal to be tired every day, that it was normal for your hair to be coming out so much in the shower, that it was like just all of the brain fatigue, all of that. And so that's when it really hit me. I need to make a change. But that's when, if you're going your whole life trying to be smaller and lose fat and like look a certain way, and then being like, I have to change my whole lifestyle and I have to gain weight, and having that adjustment, it's a mind F.
Like, I'm sure. Because you felt really healthy and fit on the outside.
Yeah.
And then here are these professionals and doctors telling you that you're not healthy on the inside.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you believe that?
And people telling you, oh my God, you look so good. And like literally my whole life growing up, my only thing, I would look in the mirror and like pinch all my fat and everything. And I was like, if I just had a flat stomach, that's all I want in life, which sounds so bad. But and then with my Instagram blowing up because of how I looked and my weight loss, and because I was small and because I had abs, and that kind of attached to my identity, which, never have your body be your identity. That is horrible. But it really was. So being like, if I change my lifestyle, if I gain weight, if I lose my abs, like, I'm going to lose everything that I worked for these past 7-8 years, and people aren't going to listen to what I say or want to be my friend or want to be in this community anymore. So it's been like 2-3 years in this journey, and it finally clicked this year, to be honest. So it did take a very long time, but it's still like a mental struggle a little bit. But letting go of, I don't need abs for people to like or respect me. Like, I bring more to the table than my body and what I look like. So that's been a huge challenge and something that I'm working on every day still, but made a ton more strides this year since I was like, I can't do this alone, and I ended up investing in a coach, and that's really what like switched. I was like, I'm gonna stop trying to figure this out myself, just put 100% trust in my coach and do whatever he says. And I finally got my period back after 3+ years last month. So
wow.
I went off that year of COVID, so 2020, probably May or June timeframe, because even that little bit of, I was on birth control when I lost my period, and I knew that any little bit of estrogen would continue to make my body not produce it on its own. So I've been off birth control for that long.
And your body feels good without it?
It does now.
No, it takes time.
Still feel weird, to be honest, because I think my body's still figuring out. I haven't had a period in 3 years. Like, what's going on now?
Right.
So last month was a bit weird and hectic. But so it will, take a while for my body to readjust to this new normal now, but it's a new healthy. So,
It's so interesting. I think that like balancing your hormones is so
hard.
And that's why I always say this, like as a trainer myself too, is the workouts that I'll tell guys to do, they're going to be different than overall workouts that I tell women to do. Not saying women and men can't do both, like you totally can. But I think that especially if you had any have any history of maybe it's hard to lose weight, check on your hormones, like what you said, because there can be something deeper that's going on there.
And I've been learning all about that in the female body. But it's insane how much extra things like going on in your life play into whether you gain or lose weight as a woman.
Think about it, like let's go back, right? Like women are meant to recreate life, and when we have like our body has to feel like it is strong enough and viable enough to create another human. So if your body, if as a woman, feels like it's in fight or flight mode, and if your cortisol, your stress hormone is high, you're not going to be able to have your period. You're not going to be able to like create another life, and you're not going to be able to have balance in your body. So it's always going to have high cortisol, high inflammation, and it's storing fat because it thinks that you need to be safe, and you need that extra insulation a little bit. So it's so interesting how it's like working out, your body doesn't know if you are in survival mode out in like the, you know, I don't know, like out in the woods or something, or if you're like in the gym just overworking out and like doing the wrong workouts for your body. Your hormones don't know that. So I found that so interesting, because that journey I figured that out on my own, like, whoa, what is going on? Like, I'm doing everything right. At least I think I was. And then I went through the same journey of getting my labs, realizing, whoa, my cortisol's really high. My testosterone's high. We need to fix this.
Yeah. And it's like more recovery and rest for your body sometimes is the answer.
Yeah.
Not doing more and pushing yourself. And that honestly was mentally hard for me too, because I'm one of those people that always needs to be on go and doing something. So
we're
I'm
too
like,
similar.
But honestly, yoga's helped so much, because I couldn't even do Shavasana when I first started yoga. I was like, how can you lay here for 2 to 3 minutes? That's insane. Like, I have so many things to be doing right now. But that shows how like mentally stimulated, and just I needed to relax and calm down a little bit.
I can't even tell you how much I relate to that. I was like, I can't sit still. I just can't. But hey, we're getting there.
Yeah.
Tell me, what would be some of your top actionable steps that you took once you realized my labs are messed up? I need to learn to balance my hormones. I need to bring my stress hormone down. What are some of the top things that you did to implement?
So definitely looking at my weekly schedule of workouts and being more precise with planning and just sticking to a schedule instead of like doing all of these steps and cardio and HIIT workout. So just doing, going back to lifting and focusing on strength gaining in the gym, removed HIIT workouts completely. It's just like steps, yoga. Occasionally I do like a spin class just because I really love it, but that's like the only high intensity that I will do and that I should be doing right now. And then looking at my diet and how I'm fueling my body. So making sure that I am getting well enough carbs, well, and healthy fats, but especially if you're looking to build muscle, you really need those carbs. Like that is such a huge part of gaining muscle too. Mm. So making sure that I'm fueled properly before a workout, even if it's in the early morning, you need to eat something before that. And even timing for when you're eating. Like I used to just wake up and do workouts, fasted, and maybe not have my meal until later or like in the afternoon-ish, especially on weekends. But as a woman, that's something that, I mean, I know intermittent fasting is such a huge thing right now, but it's not good for women and your hormones. So like you need breakfast when you wake up. And so just adjusting to those things as well. Mm-hmm. And finding an outlet that isn't working out or putting more stress on my body to actually relax, recover, and knowing that you do need off days. Like you shouldn't be going ham 7 days a week. Your body needs that time.
A lot of the studies have been done in men about fasting, and I'm not saying there are a lot of proven amazing effects of fasting, whether it's consistently or once in a while. Like I've seen studies of benefits in fasting.
Yeah.
And maybe women, you know, I think once in a while, like sure, right? But I agree overall, if you're fasting every single day, which is like intermittent fasting, I did that too for a while. And my hormones were so messed up because my body was in like survival mode for the first half of the day. So yeah, we are different than men and we have to find our own strength in that and our own way that works for us. So I couldn't agree more because I've tried all the things and you realize what works for your body, but there's also some things just like in general, what just doesn't work men versus female.
Yeah. And that is 100% something that I want to stress too, that it is a one size fits one for any of this. So like what worked for me might not work for somebody else too. Mm-hmm. So it really is finding what works for you and your body and your goals. But there are, like what you said, some universal truths for women in general.
And listen, I have some friends that they do intermittent fasting. They're women. They lost weight. They look great. They feel great. You know, again, it's not a one-size-fits-all.
Yeah.
For you and me, it didn't work. For a lot of people, it doesn't work. So try it. See what works for you.
Yeah.
What are some other things that you did to balance your hormones? So you touched upon workouts, not doing the HIIT workouts.
Yep. So going back to just lifting instead. And then also just to, like, talk a little bit about when I did that and I know that I'm increasing my calories, reducing my workouts and calories burned. So you are going to see whether you're doing it and how I want to do it is more building lean mass. So not as much fat going up, but you will see fat going on your body that way too. And so really having that mind shift of what can I focus on besides the number on the scale or how my body looks or fat-wise. And it's like I can really focus on, like I said in college, what I fell in love with in the first place is hitting PRs or getting better in the gym every week. So it gives you something to really focus on. I will say I've been loving cold therapy and, well, contrast therapy a lot more. I'm one of those people that gets really fixated on something. And so for a while it was working out and I became obsessive about that. And so it's like, how can I fixate on something else that's healthy to help me in this journey. And so I fixated on recovery. So I got really into looking at my numbers for sleep every night, mm-hmm. making sure that I'm getting a full 8 hours every single night, mm-hmm. And making sure that I am waking up slowly and kind of having that time to myself in the morning. Mm-hmm. And what can I do for recovery? So mm-hmm. I was like, I got obsessed with the ice barrel probably a year or two ago now, which I hate the cold, so I never thought that would be the case. But I did it at one of the fitness events, and just the feeling that you get after.
It was
exhilarating. Yeah, I was like, I want more of this. So yeah. Getting into that in contrast therapy, I was mm-hmm. like, this is something that I could really focus on, and it did allow me to have that meditation space too, because when you're in the ice, you have nothing else to do but focus on your breathing and what's going on inside your head. So it's like, instead of running and doing that, I can be in a meditative state in the ice because I can't do it outside mm-hmm. of that. Like, I need stimulation. I've realized too. So that's been very helpful for me. And yeah, I think everything else that I mentioned, just more rest and more calories.
Hey, that's what we want to hear. Yeah. It's interesting because I think when you're talking about being in the ice bath, those feelings of calming your mind are feelings that can translate when you're going through really uncomfortable situations outside yeah. of the ice or outside of the gym. If someone doesn't have access to contrast therapy, so the cold, like an ice bath, and the hot, the heat, like a sauna, for example, and going back and forth, what are some other ways they can still have those same experiences and yeah. effects on their bodies?
Well, honestly, if you have a shower, you can do the same thing. So a cold shower in the morning does the same things as an ice barrel. It might mm-hmm. not be as intense, but it really is just about lowering your body temperature. Mm-hmm. And so you can do the same thing, like cold then hot mm-hmm. in a shower mm-hmm. if you want.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
And then honestly, because the benefits, especially, I mean, obviously contrast therapy has a million different benefits. That you guys should look into for sauna and mm-hmm. Cryotherapy mm-hmm. or ice plunge or anything. But the part that really got me that I loved was that mental space and being able to like prove that I can do something hard or just be in my own thoughts and have everything be still and focus on breathing, which you can do in yoga, or you could do if you just meditate by yourself, if you can do that. I mentally can't sometimes, but just kind of like shutting off your brain and getting into a really deep state. And I think meditation does really help. So that is the piece from the ice barrel that I really love. Mm-hmm. So you could do that without contrast therapy too.
That's great. I think a lot of people get discouraged. Oh, I don't have this. I don't have access to this. It's, you can create your own. You can create those own feelings and effects for you. And carbs. So you mentioned HIIT workouts, contrast therapy, calming your mind, getting cold, getting hot. And then you also said carbs. What are some of your favorite, maybe healthier carbs that you have every day to balance your hormones?
So I am obsessed with sweet potato. So
are we the same person? I think we're the same exact person. It's probably my favorite food, but go on.
So I literally have sweet potato every day. Same with salmon. I have salmon every single day. So having those healthy fats and like olive oil and avocado, those are my staples for healthy fats, I would say. For carbs, like oats, I love brown rice, sweet potato, and berries. I eat like pounds and pounds of berries a week, I think. But those are like all like healthy carbs that give you good energy. If you need a quick fix, like rice cakes are easy. I'm obsessed with popcorn, so if I'm low on carbs, I'm gonna be reaching for the popcorn.
Any specific brand of popcorn you like?
I am weird and like air popped, so I have my own air popper at home.
You're so funny. You're so funny. I really like the Boom Chicka Pop kettle corn, and it's healthier.
Yeah, it's so good.
I can eat the whole bag. Yeah. It's so good.
No, same. And that's why I need to like, if I need to get the littler packs probably, because I'll just mindlessly start eating that whole
thing. Oh, yeah. Me too. I don't know if you're a dessert junkie like I am, but are there any staple desserts that you have or that you make or buy that help to also interact in the hormone journey and help balance your hormones?
I don't know about for the hormone journey or anything, but so also when I was going through my whole weight loss journey and stuff, I will say that I noticed, because I used to be such a sugar tooth person, like high school, I would get home, eat like a whole thing of ice cream, potato chips, like all of the disgusting things for your body, love candy. And then when I started changing my diet for and like losing weight and just getting healthy alternatives, my palate started to change too. So instead of craving ice cream or candy or any of the like chips and stuff, I start craving like fruits. So I love watermelon. I love frozen berries with like Greek yogurt, and it does taste like ice cream if you put like a little cocoa or cinnamon on it too. So it gives you that like sweet tooth a little bit. And this is a weird one probably, but getting like kind of sweet protein powders and making your own like protein desserts too.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Really good. Yeah,
do you have your favorite protein powder?
I use My Protein. Mm-hmm. And I think my favorite right now, because it does have that sweetness to it, it's banana bread flavored. Oh my God, and it's a vegan one. And so it literally tastes like dessert, but
that sounds so good.
Yeah.
That sounds so good. And it is interesting that you talked about changing your palate. Someone told me this one time, is that you could, even if it's just food in general, like your mind is so powerful and you can control it. So if for a second, if you're like, oh, I'm going to have this, and then all of a sudden your mind starts thinking about another food, you can swap it to be like, actually, I want this. It's just the control of your mind. I need to work on that control for desserts. But like, it is true that you could have the power to do it.
Well, and it's just like, I feel like habits too. Yeah. So once I completely cut out those foods, it took a while and it was hard to like not eat them for a certain amount of time. And I honestly couldn't tell you how long it was, but all of a sudden, like I wasn't craving them anymore. Mm-hmm. And I would start reaching for those healthier options. Mm-hmm. So that is definitely doable if you're looking for it. It's just finding those little healthy tweaks that you can still enjoy and love your food. But it was weird that, my palate completely changed.
That is, it's like a really interesting concept.
Yeah.
I love that you opened up about your weight loss transformation and how that affected your identity, because I also related to that too, where I lost a ton of weight. I looked really healthy on the outside, six pack, all the things. And on the inside, I was really unhealthy. Yeah. My hormones were out of whack. I had no energy. I wasn't sleeping. And I also just like, I felt more empty inside, but on the outside I looked really fit. And it was really hard identity wise, because same with you, you're a fitness trainer. You're supposed to have this look, this identity. And then the second you get out of that, you think people are going to judge you for it. And I don't think that's true, but like, I can relate that feeling in your head of how you think that about your identity. Can you express the passion behind your identity and also the translation of how you had to control your mind and change your mindset to loving your body, but also redefining what your identity looks like for you?
Yeah. I honestly didn't have that realization until like a few months ago, which is also why I love doing podcasts, because I feel like it makes me think about things that I haven't really just thought about or reflected on by myself. And so it was, I don't know if it was a podcast or just talking with friends or something, but I was like, wow, this is probably the reason why I've put so much stress, or it's so hard for me to let go of the certain image of myself. And especially like when you have people coming up to you being like, oh, you're the ab girl or whatever. And it gets in your head, whether you know it or not. Mm-hmm. And so over time, it's like all of those compliments when I was losing weight, all of the people that would recognize me because of my body, all of the like following that I've built up over these years, it's like they're looking towards me to look a certain way and to provide guidance to get there. And in my head, I felt like I was letting people down if I didn't look like that, which is completely false. And I wasn't healthy, so like I shouldn't be guiding people to look that way because it messed up everything going on inside my body. So that was also kind of a huge realization of like, wow, I've been writing these plans for people that want to look like me, but am I actually giving something that's unhealthy to them? And so that was like heartbreaking too. It's like, was I leading people down the wrong path during that time? But that was a huge switch of, okay, I'm seeing changes in my body. I need to do these certain lifestyle changes because it will make me healthier. And realizing that when I was seeing my body change, like I was mentally, it was very difficult to accept. So when I finally realized that's probably was the identity thing, I was like attaching my looks to my identity. It's focusing on what else do I bring to the table as a human, honestly, and well, like that isn't my identity. What is my identity? And thinking about that, so I realized that I bring more to the table than just my abs. Like people hopefully come to me because I am genuine and I am very transparent with my journey, and I truly do want to just help people and share what I'm going through. And it and for all of the brands and everything, it's like I bring energy to the table and I want to bring community together and really help people instead of being competitive or just doing something for money. And so trying to look at all of those things, and it's like, okay, you have to self-reflect and be nice to yourself. Like I think especially as women, we're all pretty mean to ourselves and our body. So having that self-reflection of what do I see in myself as good and what do I want to really shine a light on in that perspective that's not my body. And that was a very long answer, sorry, but
I got the chills from that. I think Ashton Kutcher said this in like one of his speeches. I just remember this viral video of him and him saying, I'm gonna butcher this but not verbatim, but he said something like, your physical appearance is the least interesting thing about you. There's so much more. There's so much more. And I think it takes a lot to realize that and go past that part of your identity, if that's how you identify yourself. But that is really powerful, what you just said.
Especially like if you're open and you're on social media or like have people watching you, it just, you really do focus on looks so much. And it is sad. And it's like we have to realize everything else that we're bringing to the table.
What would you tell people that are struggling to redefine their identity?
It takes time. I'm still working on it every single day. I don't want to show up here and be like, I've realized the answers and I turned a switch and it's off. It's like, you can't do that. It took a while. I realized the issue. And it's something that I'm working on every single day. It's not going to be like a snap and you're out of it. Right. It's something that you need to continually reflect on and look at yourself and have those positive affirmations towards yourself. But it's not going to be easy. It's not something that just like comes very easily, because you didn't, if you think about it, whether it's weight loss or this identity crisis, it didn't take 1 minute or a day to get there. So it's not going to take a day, a week, months, even a year to get back and reverse all of that too.
And you post a lot about your physical transformation in a photo, but then you go into more depth in your captions, always talking about, oh, look at the picture on the left. I look like I have a six pack. I looked super healthy. I was so unhealthy. My hormones are out of whack. Look at the picture on the right. I gained a little bit more weight, but I was so much healthier and I look healthier and fitter for me. And I love those transformational photos, because on the outside, people are probably like, oh, she looks better in this or that. And it's like, no, like what? First of all, you look beautiful in both, but what where do you feel healthier on the inside?
Yeah, I think it's going back to like, okay, I was having these gut issues. I was not being able to go to the bathroom regularly. My hair was falling out in the shower. And as somebody that I grew up with really thick, curly hair, and it was falling out. It was really thin. It was not doing well. Like, even got my hair cut this past year, and my hairdresser was just literally just like doing the shampoo and stuff, and was like, your hair feels so much better compared to the last few years. So focusing on those little wins, like, okay, might be TMI, but like, you should be going to the bathroom regularly. Like, I'm finally regular there without taking a million supplements to get there. My hair is no longer falling out, and it looks healthier, it feels healthier, it's like getting its body back. I have my curves back, so okay, might not have abs anymore, but like, I have the, but like, you got curves again now, and yeah, like building that, and my energy levels, like, I don't hit 2 p.m. or 3 p.m. and want to take a nap, or like have to completely zone out in my work meetings anymore. So having that sustained energy, and it's like looking at all of those small wins. And okay, I'll take those over a six pack.
It's so much bigger. It's so much bigger than a six pack.
Yeah.
So much bigger. I feel like that's a title of a movie.
That's gonna be the title of this episode.
Title of this episode. I was like, I think that's gonna be the title. As I said, that really hit with me. I'm so empowered and inspired by your journey. It relates to me so much, and I'm sure so many other females too that have gone through these really tough journeys, because it's all a journey. You're trying to figure out what works for you, and it's so hard. But listening to someone like you that has gone through the hard work is so helpful, and I think it can help propel people 20 steps forward in their journeys to help them find the right path that works for them.
And honestly, that's why I'm sharing it, because you don't realize how many other women or people are going through something until it's happening to you. And then it's popping up everywhere now, and like, as you do more research and stuff. So in my head, if I can share what I'm going through and be fully transparent and vulnerable with people, if I can help just a handful of girls that it might resonate with, like, that's why I'm sharing everything.
Well, thank you for opening up and sharing. At Fit Food Junkies, our motto is addicted to health. Yeah. We talked a lot about addiction today and being addicted in an unhealthy way, which is so funny because it just wraps up right here. What are you addicted to?
Oh, I mean, I think I still am addicted to movement, to be honest, and working out, but I'm trying to reel that back in a healthy way. I'm addicted to energy, if that makes sense, but just like positive vibes and finding my people and who I connect with and good energy, like being out doing hikes and feeling good. So if that could be an addiction.
Getting out in nature.
And I guess addicted to healing myself and my body right now.
It's always a journey, every single day, always growing.
It is.
Always looking to transform. Nikki, thank you so much. Where can people connect with you?
I would say Instagram's my biggest, so at fitwithnick. I'm sure it'll be in the notes or something to look up, but if you just look up Nikki Zaka, it will pop up.
Thank you so much for being here and for sharing your awe-inspiring journey that I can't even tell you how much it relates to me. And it's so nice to hear about someone going through such a similar journey and connecting with them.
Well, thank you for having me. This was fun.
Thank you. And now we're going to go on a walk and catch up and all the things.
Thank you guys so much for joining me today. Connect with me at Fit Food Junkies and with Nikki at fitwithnick_. Let us know your biggest takeaway. Maybe it was something about her weight loss transformation or Nikki redefining her identity. Also, it would mean the world to our team if you can like, subscribe, and follow the Fit Food Junkies podcast. You have no idea how much that impacts us to keep on growing and impacting more and more people. Did you know your gut needs scrubbing? Yeah, you heard that right. Scrubber is a daily digestive health beverage that gives your gut the scrubbing it needs with that perfect blend of prebiotics, probiotics, and fiber. You can get healthy to your core and learn to reset your gut with this all-fiber infused fruit juice. The real key to a healthy body and a healthy body weight is having a well-running digestive system. Scrubber gives you a whopping 15 grams of soluble and insoluble fiber, which helps your system convert fat into energy and food into fuel. Scrubber helps curb a lot of those hunger cravings that I know I always get and snack attacks by naturally keeping you feeling full longer with its fiber. Scrubber's mission is if you have a happy gut, you'll have a happy life. And I seriously believe that. It's so true. Reset your gut and check them out at Drink Scrubber. Thank you so much for joining the Fit Food Junkies journey with me.